Turn to book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we read also verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So on Wednesday we have seen that at the end of the sixth chapter, after speaking about the needs of our body and also the food and the drink, the Lord gave a wonderful example of the birds and how they just fed by the Lord. Similarly, the Lord is assuring to the believers in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So even before we ask, our Father knoweth what all we need. But instead of asking those things, what we eat, what we drink, in verse 33 he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And we have seen in the life of King Solomon, he asked wisdom to rule over the people whom he was given by the Lord. And the Lord has given him the riches also. So when we seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, the promise of the Lord is, the Lord will add all these things unto us. So in seeking what we have seen part of that, seeking the kingdom of God, in that one we have seen two parts. One, the kingdom of God which is going to come and be established by the Lord as a millennial period of 1,000 years, and that is a direct manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ and ruling upon the earth. And secondly, so indirect manifestation of that kingdom, as we read in the book of Luke's Gospel chapter 17 verse 20 and 21, the kingdom of God is within you or among you. That also we have seen in our last Wednesday. So it is we consecrating our Lord as a king in our life and allowing our lives to be ruled by him is in another sense of a kingdom. But that is not one, but among you. That means it is more than two or three. And it may be starting with the two people in the family, then it is increasing to the number of people with all whom we gather. And that is a big blessing. But when we all have the understanding of I was purchased by the Lord, and the Lord should live in my heart, and his will should prevail in my life, and all the brothers and sisters come together and allow that truth to prevail in the lives of our gatherings and also corporate lives functioning together as one body, then we can say the King Jesus Christ is in the midst of us. And that is the time we also see the experience of binding the things upon here, and those things will be bound in heaven. The things he can lose here, and they will be loosed there. And the heavens coming down and living in, staying in the midst of us because of the ruler is the king, will be in the midst of us. And that is a wonderful experience what the Lord wanted to give to a group of people who all wanted to have that experience. And it is also a great privilege individually and as a gathering to manifest that Lord's power and presence in the midst of us. But many of us, we realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior and who loved me and he died for me. That is the fundamental truth for all of our faith. But when we stop there and do not give the rights of our lives unto him, the King, then we are losing so much in our life. That means the sanctification and everything is coming under the subjection of the ruler and the way he would change and transform our lives is not happening. And that is where we all struggle to see that experience coming through in our lives. And therefore that one, the Lord said, unless we die on the cross and identify ourselves on the death, with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and learn to live in Him, as Paul said, as we read in Galatians 2:20, I will read that some for you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Son of Jesus, Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So unless, primarily, if that is not the experience, then the Lord is not living in us. So we should be able to say that I am crucified with Christ. So when we, in our old man, in fleshly form, it doesn't have the experience of I am crucified with Christ, then not living in us is not possibility. So the life which we live in a natural man and the life of the Lord, the resurrection life, both are contrary to each other and both cannot go. And whenever this flesh dies, then the Lord lives in us. And whenever we are active, then the Lord will just a spectator and He watches over us. He watches us from far. But dying to the self and the flesh and inviting Him in our lives and asking Him to take charge of our lives is the best privilege Lord grants to every believing child. But it all depends, the experience depends upon how much in a measure we allow Him to take charge of our lives. And we have seen that one in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And as we progressively, the things which the Lord is showing us into what things which we have not done, and as we crucify that, and the Lord takes charge of those matters of our life and bring us into the spiritual aspect, and the Lord blesses us. And that progresses in our life, that is also called sanctification. And once that sanctification is come, as progresses to a measure what He pleases to Him, then the Lord also uses the brothers and sisters to, for His glory in the service of Him, to expand His interest, to serve His interest. So in this one, and as we have seen in Luke 17, 20, 21, kingdom of God is within you and among you. But how do we enter into that experience? So that is what we will see today. So we'll take you to book of Acts chapter 14 verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So the word language here is we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So that means to enter into the kingdom of God, the tribulation is very, very much required as per the Paul's writing to these churches. So those churches were newly formed churches. So in verse 21, we find those places. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So in beginning from the chapter 13, they went to these places and proclaimed the good news. And they believed and they formed the churches. And then further they moved on to the other places. Then on their return journey, again they visited these places. And the message they conveyed again was, with much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. So the tribulation there, Paul may be speaking, as he was in every place faced with the problem. That may be one reason. Or that when now they come out of their different backgrounds, gathering together, and adjusting to one to another as brothers and sisters, learning to come together and function as one body. Individually, inside there is a problem that needed to be worked out. And also learning to live with one another, there are other problems there. And there is another dimension of the problems because they are coming from a different backgrounds. In a family, if a sister comes to the Lord, then her husband is not come to the Lord or parents are not come to the Lord. So many of those family members are not likely to come to the Lord. But then those problems are there. And if all those things are there and outside, there are Jewish people who are troubling them because of this newly religion and whether it is expanding and not coming, and also coming out of the Jewish religion and also the Gentile religions. All these things which would have made as a tribulation for their people newly forming into churches. So the most difficult thing is, and individually when they, it is difficult, the difficult part of the first beginning was, and as we read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That part allowing in our life by faith every day, as for the Romans 6:6, that is the most crucial part for our faith life. So though theoretically we know that, but allowing into becoming, making it as a real experience in our life, that is where we all fail. So it is when we don't allow that natural man or the old man to be identified or buried and allow the new life to function, then it is going to be a much troublesome process of accepting the right of Jesus Christ in our life. Then secondly, when we come together as an assembly, gathering together, then meeting with the different background people and different languages and different cultures, then adjusting with one another and learning to love them whom we do not know before, and also sometimes because of their different ethnicities or languages, cultures, backgrounds, and they have some kind of a different opinions or inhibition towards each other. And those all things to be worked out. And that working out that, in that also, there is some process needed to be done inside. And unless you allow that to happen, then it is a problem. Then the thirdly, from the family members. Similarly, from outside members. In all these aspects, if we don't allow to happen the work of the Lord deeply in their lives, then he said, it is the king entering into the kingdom of God is not possible. So it is after the salvation, and when we are not allowing the life of Lord Jesus Christ to rule in our life as a king, then each believer and each assembly is having an issue of not understanding and not entering into that experience. And once we allow the Lord to rule in our life, then it is a beautiful experience of coming together, because if the same life is dominating, we belong to the same Father and the same Lord and the same interest, same purpose of life. And that is what the Lord expects from all of us. And that is where the tribulation comes, because our earlier world interests must die. Our world desires and affinities should die, and new affections and bonds should develop in the Lord. And though some different things we may have inhibition about the people, culture, language, all those must cease and become one. And normally when we see people, some people we love, some people, and some people we don't have that kind of a love and affection. And those are not good. Either loving a person because you like them, or disliking a person because you don't like them. Those are not good, because everything is coming from the natural man. But if the Lord's life is coming, then we love all of them equally, whatever may be their background and whatever may be their understanding or stature. And that to happen, it is call, it is inside, it is a work which is taking away all the chaff or the old nature from out, from us outside, and then bringing the life of the Lord to function in a such a manner that we all will be blessed to progress towards that. We are all connected to the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a body, and learn to function. And those who function like that, they become in an indirect manifestation of the Lord's kingdom or kingship prevailing in the group of people. Then we see in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 8 to 17. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So the glory is connected to where we will be transformed into the likeness of our Lord. And those who are transformed into the likeness and the image of God, they will be the participants in the coming kingdom also. So the glory in the kingdom, where we are reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Who walk worthy of the him who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. But here when we understand these verses, we see here in verse 8, so then we are in the flesh, so though that they are in the flesh cannot please God. So if anybody is walking in the flesh, that means still the old nature is prevailing, then they cannot please God. And in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You are not in the flesh, if so the Spirit of God dwell in you. So that means if the Spirit of God do not dwell in you continually, then you are in another state which is called flesh. So either you live in a flesh or in spirit. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, then you are not in the flesh. So that is what he says. So then the question comes, if the Spirit of God dwelleth in us continually, or he becomes a visitor to come and go? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. Then verse 10. Now if any man, verse 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means if the Spirit of God is not indwelling, then we do not belong to Christ. In a means, not, does not mean that you are not born again or anything, or your sins are not forgiven. That means that living experience of Christ living in you is not the experience. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if Christ Spirit, here the Spirit and Christ both are interchangeably used. The Spirit dwelling or the Christ dwelling, then you are dead to the fleshly nature or the old nature, and the Spirit is life and righteousness. So that means it will continue to teach you. He will continue to teach you to do what is right in the sight of God. verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So, if the spirit dwelleth in you, that you are mortifying the deeds of the flesh, and the spirit of God has the full freedom to dwell in your life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So if you allow the spirit to dwell in you, then automatically you will be able to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Then that struggle of how to crucify them will not be there. Then if your desire not to live unto the flesh, inviting him to come and live in you, then he will continue to help you whenever the flesh raises its head to do any act of the flesh. It will be mortified by the power of that life. 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are sons of God. So as many as are accepted, believed Jesus Christ, they are the children of God. But as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are sons of God. That means they are matured. They understand and they follow the Lord. 15. But if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby cry Abba Father. So you don't have to fear what will happen. And will I be able to overcome? And will I go back to my old life? And instead, we have received the adoption in the Father, and he has given us the spirit, telling that he is going to live in us and give us victory. 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Then in this, whatever we read now from 18 to 16, what is the suffering here? Then he said, if you suffer with him, then you will also be glorified. Or in other words, even if we suffer, as we read in Acts 14:22, with much tribulation we shall enter. And here we see with the suffering, then we will be glorified. The seeking, first seek ye the kingdom, that means to enter into that glory or the ruling in the coming dispensation. And whatever the tribulation which is allowed by God, then we should undergo so that we may be glorified to participate in the coming kingdom and glory. Then in 17, what we read, if we suffer with him, then we shall also be glorified. And what would be that suffering in this passage what we have seen?
Overcoming.
What is the overcoming? What is that? What we need to overcome?
Overcoming the fleshly desires, brother.
Yeah, that is what is the suffering here in this passage. That is what you mean?
Yes, brother.
Persecuted for righteousness.
So when I, through the power of the Spirit who lives in me, and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. So mortifying the deeds of the flesh are killing all the activities of the death, or pronouncing death on those activities of the flesh. So experience of death for every person is very painful. That is why we avoid that. So what we wanted to read, those activities of the flesh, is as read in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And those things, when we are mortifying by the power of the Spirit who indwells in us, and that life which is bringing us into the righteousness, is a painful thing. And those that flesh does not like it. And if we mortify those deeds, and whatever we go through the process, in this context he is saying it is a suffering. Because with that activities of the flesh still continued in a believer's life, and that will not be acceptable to enter into the kingdom of God. He said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not only this flesh and blood physically, but also the activities of the flesh. Unless we mortify them, then it will not be counted worthy to enter into that kingdom. But here we see that mortification, or allowing the cross to work to spell death on those fleshly activities of a man, a believer, is a suffering. Not suffering for the sake of Christ, but suffering to mortify the deeds of the flesh, which time and again can erupt in our lives, unless we allow the Spirit to dwell in us on a constant basis. So as we come to learn under the subjection of the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, the process, we can say in a simple terms, a suffering here in this context. And if we allow that suffering, if we allow that process to mortify the deeds of the flesh and living in spirit, then we will also become the joint heirs with Christ. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, who has forgiven all our sins, and we became the children of God, then we have moved from death to the life. But when we allow, and when we are willing to carry the cross on our life, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and allowing our lives to be taken charge by our Master, who has died for us and loved us, then that will be a beautiful thing, and the Lord blesses us. And then he will glorify us because of that suffering. Then we see here in the book of 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense the tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his might, with his mighty angels. In the book of Romans chapter 8, in verse 16 and 17, what we have seen is different. And here we see something different. Here, and it is a trouble coming from outside, as they continue to manifest that nature of Christ in them, and not participating along with them in their run in the world, and living a separated lives, and a manifestation of the name of God and all its power in their lives, then they went through the suffering because of that. And Paul was comforting them, when the Lord comes, he will count you worthy for all the suffering for the sake of the kingdom. That means the manifestation of the rights of King in your life is so wonderful, and that was not acceptable to the people who are around you, and they trouble you. And in verse 6 we see, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So that time when he comes, then he is going to trouble them, because now you have undergone the tribulation and suffered with him. So when the Lord said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye his kingdom. So now that is where we all come into the picture now. As we see in book of Matthew, Acts chapter 14 verse 22, with much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. Then in that one, two parts which we have seen, one in Romans, that is mortifying the deeds of the flesh by the power of the living spirit in us. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see the other part, the tribulation which is coming from outside, which will count as worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. And when the Lord said, seek ye the kingdom first, so whenever this mortifying the deeds of the flesh, which is the painful experience for every believer, we try to avoid. And we say, now this is okay for me and I am fine with this. The Lord has saved me and He is a loving Father. He shows me favors, whatever I ask, He gives me. That is all good to some measure. But beyond that, if you wanted to be transformed into the likeness of God, if you wanted to enjoy the power of God which can be in operation in your life, then you lose the privilege if you don't allow that suffering to come into. And secondly, the next step when you are allowing the sanctification by mortifying the deeds of the flesh is happening, if the Lord wants to make you as a witness unto the glory and the power of God which is already in operation in you, and the enemy will continue to trouble you because of your life and the righteous life, then that also you suffer, then the Lord will count you worthy to enter into the kingdom and glory which is for which we have been called. But when we are seeing the problems within, the suffering within, and the tribulation from outside, and it is easy for a man to avoid all these things and to wanted to live comfortably unto himself. And that is where we are all coming into the problems. And a very simple solution for this is just allowing the work of the Lord in us by willing to take the cross of Christ and walk with Him in our daily walk. And when we are not willing to do that, that means we are allowing our flesh to raise its head, take charge of many decisions of our life. And secondly, then we don't have any interest to suffer for the name of the Lord and living unto ourselves. Then the Lord will also not count us worthy to enter into His kingdom. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 28 and 29. Ye are they which have continued with me in my trials. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So in Matthew 19 also, he said that whatever, when Peter has asked, what do we get in the coming kingdom, glory? And he said, because you have left everything, then so many things earthly and also heavenly will be given to you. But here, in another dimension, the Lord is bringing in their lives what they would go. He said, you are they which have continued with me in my temptation, in my trials. So during his 3.5 years ministry, in the very beginning of his ministry, then the Lord has chosen these 12 disciples. And one is the son of perdition, but the 11 of them, and continued with him in all his trials. The trials that time, the rejection, and the people accusing him is the chief of the Beelzebub. Rejection and despising and not accepting he is the son of God. But after once they received the revelation that he is the son of God, as twice they confessed in book of John's Gospel chapter 6 and also book of Matthew chapter 18, and they continued with him till the end unto the cross. Though after that then they dispersed at the last moment. Then later on they were restored back. But these are the people who continued with him in all his trials. So because of that, as the Father has appointed a kingdom unto me, that they will also be, and as I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed. That means they will also be part of that kingdom and glory, and they are given an extra privilege of judging all the 12 tribes sitting on the 12 thrones. So here we see, then if the disciples, they chose not to seek after those things after Jesus Christ left, or during that 3.5 years ministry, if they have not followed wholeheartedly, during the times of that rejection, problems, suffering, they would have left him. But they continued. At those 3.5 years time, and later on, so many apostles were gone through much tribulation. And for all those things, then Lord said, it is, I appoint unto you a kingdom. So in Lord gives every one of us, as we decide earnestly to pursue the goals what he has kept for us, in suffering through the mortification of the fleshly deeds by allowing the spirit, then participation of the tribulation for the glory of his name, and whatever the Lord allows in combination of all these things in the trials in our life for the glory of the Father. When we suffer, then there are much more privileges for that. But a human heart so weak and continues to withdraw from every problem and not taking shelter under the mighty wings of God, then we lose the privilege to enter into the kingdom. Though we may know so many things about the kingdom, but when we do not have the experience of suffering with him and along with him to be in the trials, then we will not be able to participate in the kingdom. So one of the apostles, what he writes here at the end of the chapter, Book of Revelation, chapter 1. So verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and a companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I was in the isle Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So for those things, I was brought into this isle in a very secluded place. But before coming here, I am a brother and a companion in a tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So once the Lord Jesus Christ went, his brother James was killed. And he, in his entire ministry, writing the epistles, 3, Revelation and John's Gospel, and he said, I am a brother and a companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ. And they all considered it is worthy to suffer. And when the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom, that means whatever the glory which is going to come, it will be revealing, that you seek after. But that is, the Lord promises that also as a salvation, that would have been wonderful, but that will not work. That is why when he said, seek, it is not given, but you have to seek that one. And that is only by much tribulation and the suffering. And human nature that avoid any kind of a suffering for anything, especially mortifying the deeds of the flesh by allowing the spirit continually to dwell in our lives. And that is the most problematic thing for all of us. But those who have gone through, when the Lord comes in glory, because of the sanctification completed, then they will be also be glorified. Because they have also suffered for the sake of Christ, for the kingdom of God, then the Lord also highly exalt him, highly elevate them in the coming kingdom. Not only they will enter, but also they will receive the rewards because they suffered for the sake of Christ. They suffered to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and they were gone through the trials for the sake of Christ and for the glory of his name. So the entering into the kingdom and the rewards are also given because they allowed the body to be sanctified, their nature to be sanctified. And with the sanctified nature, they also lived and served the interest of God in these mortal bodies. And having the treasure of that spirit indwelling in them, the power of God manifesting, and they continually withstood all the attempts of the enemy, not budging an inch. And continually, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Isle of Patmos. And for the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. So when we seek means, it is coming into the experience of what the Lord meant for all of us. And the experience is entering into that experience, Lord ruling in our lives individually. And His ruling is possible when we are allowing mortification of the flesh. And His ruling will bring us into much more powerful manifestation of His power by going through the tribulation or the sufferings, whatever He has kept for us for His glory. And if a person will become a tool to be used in that purpose, and they will all enter into the kingdom which is going to come. So one brother written like this. And in the many churches, the kingdom or the about the coming glory and how the Lord is going to manifest His power in the coming days is not spoken much. And where spoken also, they have spoken such a light manner that all believers, those who are all born again, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, will all enter into the kingdom. That is wrong. So otherwise, these all passages will contradict that. And another category of people, though they have the clear understanding, who will enter, who will not enter. And when those who will enter, who will receive the greater rewards. And they have the clear understanding of all these things. But as far as living that in that experience or seeking after those things, many are not there. So because those who have known these truths, since they are not living in that order, then the message of the kingdom has not taken much weight in the many congregations. That is the sad part of it. So many people have understood this. And though they have understood, but bringing that into a regular life activity or living experience, very few people have taken this as their life desire. And this is one thing I seek after. And this is my life. And this is what I wanted to do. And many people have not committed for that. And we try to justify our actions why we don't seek after. And they say that this is not for me. And some people say, I can do this much, but I cannot do beyond this. And by drawing all those conclusions, then we will be left behind when the Lord comes and establishes His kingdom. Though we know some, and though we have walked with Him for some distance, but as John, that now at the end of his life, and now he is writing that epistle, and he is saying that I, a brother and a companion, for the sake of the kingdom and the patient, lead again. I, John, who am also a brother and a companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So that he went on in his entire life in that manner. So that is what the Lord is interested to seek, the group of people. So those who will be seeking continually to that focus, to live individually, to live as a group of people, and also to live as an individual and a group of people to suffer for the sake of Christ and the testimony and the word of God. Where the word of God and the testimony of God is properly, clearly manifested, in the life, not only teaching, Then the Lord will count as worthy for his entrance into the kingdom and rule along with him in that glory. When we do not allow that process to happen and we allow that to remain as a knowledge, then we will be much more accountable when we stand before the Christ. When we don't know, that is a different account. When we know and we do not live, that is a much more serious account to be given to the Lord.
Brother,
mm-hmm.
Revelation 2 and 3, the church of Smyrna and Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
for the suffering that is mentioned over there, and where there is no charge against that church, but only they go to the suffering in the synagogue of Satan's. Is that anything in connection that we can add to these sufferings, or is that separate?
Smyrna and
Philadelphia. So Revelation 2:11 is Smyrna and 3:11-13 is Philadelphia.
So I know thy works and tribulation and poverty and thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto the death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Yes. And this is a suffering for the sake of Christ to Jayant.
Okay.
And the suffering in Romans, what we have seen is the mortifying the deeds of the flesh.
That is the individual.
Okay. That is individual and also inside sanctification work.
Okay.
But here this is much more higher degree of suffering for the sake of the Christ.
Okay.
Both are two different things.
Okay.
But that is the first essential. And when God sees that the level is coming through, then he will also use us to suffer for his glory, for his namesake, and use us for his expansion of the kingdom. Then that is not only we enter into the kingdom, then we also reward a greater reward. Like the apostles, now you are those who are with me in all my trials. I will appoint unto you a kingdom, and he will also will judge all the 12 tribes of Israel in the coming dispensation. That is the higher privilege, reward. That is not given to everybody. So inward sanctification will enable us to enter. And to suffer for the Christ's sake and for his kingdom's sake, whatever we suffer, that will give us another step of reward in the kingdom.
So, Uncle.
Yes.
So, unless you experience the suffering of mortifying your flesh, you won't be able to suffer the tribulation, the next part, right?
Yes. When you do not allow the flesh to be mortified or brought under cross, then unsanctified life will not be very happy to be used for the suffering of Christ. It will resist. It will not be useful for the Lord. The Lord uses the sanctified life. Then it means the life has already come, what it means to come under the subjection of Christ. Then he will use that vessel for his glory.
Yeah, this is step by step. First is suffering with mortified, to mortify the flesh. Second is within the family or outside. Yeah. Then the next step is the real tribulation, what brother shared. So unless you go through this, you cannot attain that, right?
Yeah, unless the sanctification is not completed, you will not enter into the kingdom.
Yeah.
That is the first step. We all need to undergo that. So it is very simple. 1 Corinthians 15, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it is not the physical bodies which he is talking about. The nature of the flesh, it is entirely contrary to the kingdom which appears in glory and in all holiness, and the rules of the heaven will prevail. So the flesh do not have any part in that. in the sense in authority, not as a subjects. So when the Lord said you seek after these things, then who will be very eager to do that? Because it is a problematic thing, and my body, my flesh does not like to be put under that death. My soul longs to be manifesting my emotions, my willpower, and my affections, my intelligence, the manifestation of all these things. It rejoices. But Spirit says, you put everything under the subjection of my authority. Now he doesn't like that. He wants to say what, how great a person is, what he attained, what he achieved, or what he can do, and what is his power, what are his resources. Those are all things man tries to be receive glory in that. Then it is a clash in the families, in the churches. So we will see the remainder of that verse is seeking righteousness on Monday. We all should have that earnest desire. The Lord, you have called us for a greater purpose, kingdom and glory. And we may all earnestly seek and endeavor to enter into those experiences. And the Lord will be glorified through all of us then.